Good evening. Grateful for the kind words Brother Kevin Smith introduced me with. My wife and I, and we are grateful for the hospitality that we have been receiving from Brother Kevin and Sister Tammy Smith, been most hospitable. And we just have enjoyed their company, their kindness, the love that they have shown towards us while we have been here, beginning Saturday evening. I got a little turned around, but they steered us in the right direction. And so we're grateful for them tonight and throughout this week. Appreciate the Lincoln Church of Christ for your faithfulness, your commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ, for your efforts. And tonight we'll do no different than what we have been doing concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation and the church. Salvation and the church, that's the theme. The subject, salvation made possible in Christ. One of the greatest purposes of our Lord coming to the earth was to bring peace to mankind. And when we look at our scripture text, Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things. Christ's mission was to bring peace. When Jesus was born, the angels would announce his birth to the shepherds, was suddenly accompanied by a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill towards men. Luke chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14. This was a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. We hear the Apostle Paul in Romans 10 and verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things. Paul in Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 through 18, when he said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. But God in his great mercy is willing and anxious to save all men who will trust in him and obey his will. It is not about doing what we want to do. It is about doing what the Lord has willed or commanded us to do according to his word. This grace is manifested in the giving of Jesus, his son, to die for our sins. John chapter 3 and verse 16, that golden text of love, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. God promised this in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, when it says that I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It's a prophecy concerning Jesus would crush or bruise the head of the serpent or the devil, and the devil would bruise his heel. Christ would die, but he wouldn't stay dead. He would get up the third day according to the scriptures. See, death, the death of Christ on the cross, was not the end of Christ or God's plan of salvation for mankind. The cross of Jesus was not the end of him. If it had been, we could have been excused for thinking that God did not care. But 1 John chapter 4 and verses 10 through 11, John says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us, sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins also of the whole world. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25, wherefore he is able to save them unto the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. If Christ had ended at the cross, if the cross was just the ending position, ending spot of Jesus, if it had been, we could rightly have supposed that suffering had no purpose in life. But James chapter 1 and verse number 3, James says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. If we don't have our faith tried, we'll never grow in patience. As we run this Christian race, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If Christ's life had just ended at the cross and there was no resurrection of our Lord, then we could rightly suppose that when he cried out on the cross that it is finished was a cry of defeat and not victory. And we could certainly have been placed in a position where there would be no assurance of forgiveness of our sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 19 to 22, Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now in is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by Adam came death, but by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Jesus is the second Adam. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Because of Christ, there is the opportunity to live forever with God and the heavenly host. The whole Bible, the whole New Testament resounds with the echoes of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection spells power, the power of God in our world. Christ was crucified. He truly, truly was dead. He died out yonder on Calvary's cross, certified as such by the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, and the man that was in charge of the execution squad. But yet our Lord rose the third day according to the scriptures. The tomb was empty on the third day, and just the grave clothes were left laid by themselves. But Jesus was not there. The angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Luke 24 verses 1 through 12. Our Lord got up the third day as he said he would. He kept appearing to different people in different situations for 40 days. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 3. assuring them that he was alive, he had to have some eyewitnesses that would behold him walking the earth after his resurrection from the grave. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 5 through 8. And that he was seen of Cephas, of Peter, then of the 12. And after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part have slept. The book says some of them have fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen of James and then all of the apostles. And then last, Paul says, he was seen of me also, one born out of due time. Paul was that globe-trotting apostle who was at one time was a persecutor of the church, but he obeyed the faith. He obeyed the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse number 11, therefore, whether it were I or they, so Paul says, we preach, and so ye believe. What was preached? Well, he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 through 4, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received. They received the gospel, and wherein ye stand, and which also ye are saved. If you do something, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Then he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Paul says everything was done according to the scriptures. And when we teach and preach the word of God to people that are lost, we need to emphasize those things that are according to the scriptures. Not what I think, what I believe, what I feel, but let the scriptures speak for themselves. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 10, Paul says, I therefore endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Nor the name can we hope to be saved, Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither the salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You name the man, there's no salvation in his name other than Jesus Christ, because he's the one that died on the cross for our sins. Salvation is possible because Christ died in our place. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 3, being sinners, each of us deserved the wages of sin, which is death. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, however, God allowed his son to be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 5. And when God saw the travail of his soul on Calvary, justice was satisfied and we could be pardoned. Isaiah 53 and verse number 11. In his infinite wisdom, God has decreed that apart from the shedding of blood, that there is no remission of sin. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 22. Salvation is a free gift of God's grace. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23. Grace means a favor that is unearned, unmerited. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Meritorious works will not save any soul tonight. We cannot work enough, do enough good to save our very souls. Somebody said, all you got to do is just help your neighbor. Help out a friend. And all your good works will add up to some salvation. That's meritorious works. And we're not saved by meritorious works. We're saved by God's grace, Christ's blood, and the word of God, and our obedience to that word. God has placed salvation in his church. God said through the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 2 and verses 2 to 3, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he shall teach us of his ways. We will walk in this path, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. See, God said the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. It was in Acts chapter 2 in Jerusalem that we find the beginning of the Lord's church. The church of Christ got its start in Acts chapter 2. According to the scriptures, Jesus told the disciples or his apostles to tarry away in Jerusalem. He was with them 40 days, Acts chapter 1 and verse number 3, talking about things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And Jesus told them, you tarry away in Jerusalem till you shall be endowed with power from on high. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. The book says, and they were all gathered together, and they began to speak with other tongues. That's the beginning of the Lord's church when the gospel was preached. And about 3,000 souls obeyed that gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord's word was fulfilled. From the scriptures we learn in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22 to 23, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and the church of the firstborn, which are written where? In heaven. We have our names written in heaven when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to the God, the judge of all, and to spirits of just men made perfect. The only way you're going to be justified, you've got to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ to be added to the kingdom of God's dear Son. The word church is from the Greek word ekklesia, which means those who are called out of the world. And hence the church includes all of the saved. There are no saved souls outside of the body of Christ, the church of Christ. Somebody said, why would you make such a statement as that? Because it's biblical. It's scripture. God doesn't have any children outside of his body, which is the church. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 14, Paul says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were called by the gospel. We were not called to go pick cotton, chop beans, chuck corn. We were called to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Folks are dying. I knew Brother Steve Sanders because we served on the Bible Answer program together in Murray, Kentucky, rode together with Brother Mike McDaniel, the moderator. My heart is sad knowing there's a faithful gospel preacher that God has called from labor to reward. But he had a reward to receive in the Lord. Some of us take worshiping God just for granted. There are places in the world where it is a challenge. It is difficult to even assemble to study the word of God. Yet in America, we are blessed at this time, present time being, to have the privilege to assemble without persecution. And yet many souls do not take advantage of the opportunity to grace their presence in the Lord's presence, to realize that we have the opportunity to teach our children and our grandchildren concerning salvation is made possible in Christ. And if one is not in the church, then one is in the world and living according to the standards of the world and lost. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8, beware lest any man spoil you, Paul says, to the church at Colossae, through philosophy and vain deceit. We have a lot of philosophy and philosophers with vain deceit. After traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, the principles of the world, whose principles are you living by, God or man? Not after Christ. The Christians in Colossae were guilty of living according to the standards of the world before they were converted to Christ. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 5 through 10. Paul says to them, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And then he mentions fornication. Fornication is a sin. Uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and which is evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which time ye also walked, and sometimes when ye lived in them. There was a point in time in all of our lives that we were not in Christ, and we lived in a way that was contrary to God's will. Somebody said, I've been perfect all my life. Couldn't have been. No way possible. Because then Christ died in vain. All of us were in the sinning business, and we had to come to Jesus to get out of the sinning business, that he might save our very souls. That's what Paul said. But now ye also put off all these things. Anger. It's not a sin to be angry. But the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. There is righteous anger. Some things ought to make us angry, but don't let your anger cause you to sin. Jesus got angry when they went in the temple selling the money exchanges. He turned over table, drove the animals out. My Father's house is a house of prayer, and you made it a den of thieves. And yet we look at the church as something that is not holy, sacred, precious in God's eyesight. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Filter communication out of your mouth. This is a cursing world that we live in, where people have no regard for God nor his precious name, and they will take God's name in vain. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. In order to grow as a Christian, you've got to give up the old man. The old man is used to talking dirty, nasty, crude to any and everybody, but you got to put off the old man and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. We are to live in the image of Christ and of God. One cannot remain in a sinful lifestyle and please the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13 in verse number 4. The Bible says marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God shall judge. Somebody said, you preach like that at your road. Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. But I can't help myself, because when you've been in the world and you had a taste of the world and you're blessed to come out of the world, you realize sin is a reality everywhere you go. In every state there's a sin. Somebody's sinning. Somebody needs the gospel. Somebody's soul needs saving. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, and he is Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. The book says, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And that $100 word preeminence means he won first place. Give God, give Christ the first place in your life. He don't want second, third, fourth, fifth, tenth. He wants to be number one. In order to be number one, you got to make him number one. He's not going to bust a door down and come into your life and make you accept him. You got to embrace him with open arms of love and be converted and committed to serve him wholeheartedly. The church is the one body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 to 23. And God had put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. If saved out of the church, then saved out of the body of Christ, with no connection with Christ, who is the head of the church. For we are reconciled, the book says, in the body. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 16. That he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body, having slain the enmity, the hostility thereby. Christ is the Savior of the body. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 23. For the husband is the head, of the wife. Even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the savior of the body, salvation is made possible in Christ because he is the savior of the body. The church is the kingdom of God, and if one is saved out of it, then he is unsaved and left in Satan's kingdom. But Jesus declared in Matthew chapter 16 and verses 18 and 19, when he said, I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Well, the keys is none other than the gospel, the word of God. And each apostle had access to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Brothers and sisters in Christ, friend, Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse number 5, he answered and said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You got to be born again of water and of the Spirit. If salvation is out of the church, it is outside of that which the church is. The church is the house or family of God. We hear young Timothy being told by the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church must uphold the truth before the world that is dying lost without Jesus Christ. And if we are saved out of it, then one is unsaved in Satan's family. Jesus said to those Jews in John 8 and verse 44, ye of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye would do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh, he speaketh a lie. When he speaketh of his own, he is a liar and the father of it. Can you trust the devil? No, ma'am, and no, sir. And I served a little time in the armed forces, and I learned to dress the drill sergeant. Yes, sir. And yes, ma'am. But there is no salvation outside of the body of Christ. One must be in Christ in order to be saved. 1 John 3 and verse 8 to 10, he that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil, the Bible says, sinned from the beginning. The book says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested. Jesus came that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 11. The seed is the word of God. It's got to remain in you to keep you from sinning, to help you to avoid sinning, violating God's law or his commandments. And he cannot sin. Sin, he is not an habitual sinner. Now, all of us sin from time to time. We make mistakes. We're not completely perfect now. But it should not be a habit. You should not be a habitual sinner. You should not be sinning like you were before you obeyed the gospel. It should be something that you rarely, if ever, do. And if you do, then you repent and confess and pray and ask the church to forgive you if it's a public sin. But if it's a private sin, then you repent and pray to God that he will forgive you of your sin. And we serve a just and faithful God. The church is the bride of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he's the savior of the body. Christ is the head of his wife, the church. The church belongs to him. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels. What did he say to John? He says, come hither and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Paul said in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also have become dead to the law. What law? The law of Moses, by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that ye should bring forth fruit unto God. Are we bringing fruit unto God tonight? Salvation is made possible in Christ and in Christ's church, the church of the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're a new creation in the Lord. The greatest problem in the world today is not globally or individually. It's not economics, no world hunger, no education. But all these things we should have great concern about, but we should have a greater concern about something that is more prevalent in our world today than those who are hungry, those who are uneducated, those who are struggling economically. The greatest problem in the world today is sin. Sin is universal. For all have sinned, Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, and come short of the glory of God. The ways of sin is death, Romans 6 and verse number 23. Sin is deceptive. It promises personal freedom, but it brings us into bondage. Remember the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15 and verses 11 to 32. He thought he knew better than the Father. And some of us think we know better than our Heavenly Father. And we leave the church and go out to the beggarly elements of the world and do our own thing. Give me my inheritance. And his father didn't try to change his mind. He gave him what he asked for. God won't try to change your mind. He'll let you do your own thing. But you'll certainly have eternal regrets if you die out there in the world. Sin is deceptive. It separates a man from his family and man from his friends. Proverbs 16 and verse number 28. And most tragically, a man from God. That's the reason why we need Jesus, that he might bring us back to where we need to be in connection with our Heavenly Father. Sin is destructive. It will destroy your good name. Proverbs 22 and verse number 1. It can destroy your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 10, 18 to 21. It will destroy you emotionally. Psalms 32 and verses 1 through 4. Economically, Luke chapter 15 and verses 13 and 14, and spiritually, Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23. Indeed, sin is man's greatest problem, but Christ is God's answer to the problem of sin. He is the Savior. And this is the good news of salvation that brings great joy. As someone has well said, if our greatest need was for political reform, then God would have sent a politician. But since our greatest need was and is forgiveness of sin, God sent a Savior, and salvation is made possible in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is our endeavor to only preach those things that will help edify, build up, strengthen, and ultimately save souls in the end. Because see, I'm just a servant for the Lord. Nothing special about me, but everything special about the Lord. And your focus should not be on me tonight, but on the Lord and what he has done for all of us. He died that we might live through him. If anything touched your heart, your soul, your mind, then think about Jesus, what he has done for each and every one of us. He gave his life blood, that we might have life through his name. That heaven can be our eternal resting place. He bridged the gap between man and God. He became our mediator. And there's only one mediator between God and the man is Jesus Christ. Therefore, we need to hear the gospel, the good news. Christ died for us. For each and every one of us. Not only that we need to hear that gospel, we need to believe it with all our hearts. Romans Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. He that come to God must believe that he is. He's the reward of those that diligently seek him. Are you seeking God? Are you willing to repent of your sins? Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then you must confess his name before men, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Put the Lord on in baptism, Acts 2 and verse 38, Acts 22 and verse 16, Mark 16, 15 and 16. Baptism is still essential to salvation, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, the like figure whereunto baptism does also now save us, not to put in the way of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is still essential to salvation. I hope and pray I've said something to stir your heart on into eternity, that you will surrender your life to the Lord. I tell people, don't be converted to the preacher. Be converted to Christ. Because the preacher got the answer to God, got the answer for himself to the Lord, because Christ is going to be the judge. John chapter 12, verse number 48, he that rejected me and received not my word, have one to judge him for the words that I have spoken. The same shall judge him at the last day. You know, it's a shame folks will die and go to hell, and the Lord said, this is an open book test. You're going to be judged by the book. Yet we don't have enough gumption to open the book and find the place where it is written. May we have the courage, the conviction, and determination to do so before his everlasting and eternity too late. We thank you. We turn it back in the hands of the brothers.